good evening, Adam. How are you doing tonight?
I'm fantastic, Jack. How about you?
I am excelente. That's Spanish, in case you didn't know.
That's good. I like that.
I don't know who's Spanish, but it's Spanish.
If you're
taking Spanish, you know. Hey, you're a Spanish guy. That's right.
I took 5 years of Spanish. Not much of it stuck, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's usually what happens.
Only the important stuff, Jack. Una otra cerveza, por favor.
Uh-oh.
One more beer, please.
That's okay. Well,
those
you
are
got
important
it down.
Ones, right? Yeah, so
that's right. Handful of those and you're all set.
That's it. Got to be able to function, right? Those are good things, right?
I agree with you. Hey, so we've been talking. We got a coaching company, for those of us who don't know, business coaching company. We help companies that are smaller size, from 25 employees down to one, usually. And we help the owners get out of problems that they incur while trying to grow their business, start their business, get out of trouble, get in trouble. Whatever they do, we help them as business coaches. And we got a company called Maximum Value Partners, which does that. And we have a couple, Adam and I, Adam Sunhalter, my very esteemed partner, the Spanish-speaking guy in our partnership here. We've been together about 18 years solving these problems. And we've created another company, and that's this podcast. This podcast is basically named Dirty Secrets of Small Business. And we were on the radio for 4 years prior to the podcast. Actually, we were doing both the podcast and radio show together. And we've been together over 18 years. So there's many problems with the small business area that we have solved and been immersed in, both as owning companies, coaching companies, consulting, helping out, buying, selling. There's very little with these smaller companies that we haven't experienced. So we try to make our podcast each week based on our experiences in coaching. And tonight we have a title. We usually have a title of something, but tonight the title is, How Do You Tell Your Story? What does that mean? How do you present your company? How do you talk about your company? How do you do that when you're pulled into in front of a banker, or to be talking to a customer, or talking to a vendor, trying to sell the company in the sense of its merits and its possibility for success and doing things together? It's incumbent on you to be able to present that company pretty good. That's telling the story about your company. So what we do, I'm going to let Adam talk here in a couple minutes. What we do, we've created what we call 7 keys to success. And those 7 keys, if activated, just like a key in a door, we teach our clients how to accomplish and run and succeed with these 7 keys. And they touch on things like making a profit plan, making a marketing plan, making an organizational plan of people to do these things, to accomplish things in an orderly way, gives great clarity and comfort to small business owners. And the last one of these seven keys to success. The last one is presentation, presenting your company. How do you do that? Adam, how do you do that? Because I'm rambling now.
That's all right. That's good. It's part of the presenting, too, is you got to be aware of some of your technology, right? So just watch your cord there as you're rubbing on your collar. It's a very sensitive microphone there on the right side, just so you know. I can hear some little scratching as you're talking.
Yeah, that's a cat.
That's a cat. All right, good.
Yeah.
Well, presenting. Yeah, it's interesting, Jack. And welcome everybody to the Dirty Secrets of Small Business. The presenting thing got me thinking. As everybody knows, we've been going through a pandemic for the last 6 or 7 months now. And part of what's happened that pandemic is we've spaced out, right? We've gotten away from that, spaced out in a bad way, like we're spacing out, not knowing what the heck's going on. But we've spaced out. We're social distancing, right? We're getting away from each other. We aren't getting together in person as much as we are, right? And something weird happened, Jack. You know, in the last month or so, I started to have some coffee with people, you know, and start to get together back like we used to do a lot. You used to get to know somebody, and you tell your story and you share your stories. And it's been interesting this last month or so, as I've been doing this, I've been losing time, and just in terms of like what I had set for like an hour, all of a sudden goes a couple hours or 3 hours. Like all of a sudden you start sharing your story with somebody and you start to get really, you know, interested in it. If it's a good story to be able to kind of share and talk about it. But what I started to discover, Jack, is I was a little bit rusty at it, right? In terms of just because I hadn't, you know, shared my story as much. You know, again, you know, we're in the habit of sharing our, whether it be our personal story or the business story, pretty regularly, right? As you meet new people and kind of, you know, tell me your story, right? And so we're usually very good at that, but I hadn't done it in a little while. And most folks don't do it, you know, a lot. And so most folks are probably a little bit rusty at it. So the question becomes, you know, starting with just that basic part of it, in terms of, you know, how do you tell your story? That's, you know, when it comes to the idea of being able to kind of present, you know, whether it be you, you know, your personal story or how, your point, Jack, you're talking about how do you tell your company story? And it's key to be very aware of who you're talking to. So you gave an example, like talking to a banker, I think is what you said, right? Okay, or something like that, where it's going to be very intimidating, right? That's a pretty intimidating visual for most people versus just having a cup of coffee with somebody. That seems a little more easy, right? That seems a little
sure, more relaxed, right? And yeah.
But if you've never told your story, and how many times have we heard, Jack, people say, wow, you know, we'll meet somebody and hey, that's, you know, let's like to hear your story. You know, do you want me to go first? And they say, sure. And then I'll share my story or you'll share your story. And almost inevitably, like, gee, wow, you know, you have a great story. You're almost embarrassed to even tell you what my story is, right? And it's like, wait a minute. Why should you be embarrassed to tell me your story? We all have great stories to be able to tell. It's a matter of how you tell it, right? In terms of what's kind of going
right.
on.
That's right. They don't know. They don't know how to present themselves and tell their story. Not well. They don't practice it. They never learned it.
So, you know, part of what I wanted to try to cover with folks on, you know, on today's show is give a little sense in terms of how do you kind of maybe, starting with telling your story, because you can sort of tell your story a little bit. You know, part of your story is also your company's story, right? So picture meeting somebody for the first time. So where do you start, right? So, hey, Jack, if you and I are meeting for the first time, where do we start our stories, right? And we've seen a lot of people, they tend to start with where they are right now. Well, hey, I'm working for this company or I own this company, and they start in the present, right? Is that a good place to start your story? Depends, is the answer, right? But I'd say usually probably not, right? If somebody's asking to hear your story, mm-hmm. give me a sense of where you know, start something like, hey, where'd you grow up? You start there. And you know,
make it logical, make it comfortable. You know, most people know how to tell their story. They can recall at some early age where they started marking time and they have interesting stories, interesting events in their life. And it's fun to hear that.
And then the idea is, at your point, I was trying to figure out at what point do you pick those events out. So if you start telling your story, hey, you start with, hey, I grew up here in this area, right? Hey, you know, if we're in the Cleveland area. So we'll talk about, hey, I grew up on the west side or the south side. We'll talk about kind of where we grew up at. And say, hey, you know, I went to school here. You can give a sense. They went to school here, grew up in, you know, did this. Maybe discuss where you went to school. But as you start to look, to your point, Jack, you're looking at your history a little bit. You know, you start to reflect upon, you know, your childhood a little bit. And were there some things there that were important as you look back on it now? You know, as I tell my story quite often, Jack, you know, I'll bring up the fact that I caddied during high school and college, right? And most people don't even think twice about that until I get later in the story, right? So, you know, why is the fact that I caddied for 8 years during high school and college important? Well, it's important for a number of reasons, but not the least of which is that's how you and I met. Okay, so when it comes to the story of, you know, telling VP, and so, okay, you know, that's how we met, but also talks about in terms of my experience of dealing with entrepreneurs. Yeah, I grew up with an entrepreneur, but as I look back now, I met hundreds of entrepreneurs just carrying their golf bags around and listening to them and realizing how much I really liked being with the entrepreneurs, right? That's so as I look back with a 47-year-old eyes versus a 16-year-old eyes, I noticed things that, hey, that was pretty important, you know? And as I look back, I sort of gain perspective. So I can bring that up, and as I'm telling that part of my story versus I'm not sharing stories about us playing spades down at the caddy shack, Jack, or we're out there on the basketball court doing our thing, right? That was all part of my caddy story too, but that's a different part of the story, right? So it's, again, it's trying to figure out which of those things do you bring up to talk about, right?
That's right.
So then you start to kind of, okay, so then you start to maybe get into your career a little bit. So what was the first job you had, you know, out of school? Did you graduate from school? And we have many clients, Jack, that, and we talk about this on the show a lot, that they're, didn't graduate high school. Or maybe they graduate high school, but they didn't go to college. They didn't graduate college, and they feel embarrassed about it. And we think that's insane. insane because you look at what they've accomplished, Jack, right? We said, look, you're talking about something that happened 20, 30 years ago versus where you are. Again, don't feel bad about that. You know, and don't make that part of your story where all of a sudden you're feeling bad, right? That's why, here's
so,
why.
That's so true. That's right. We see it all, so often. So often. People embarrassed that they haven't gone to college.
Right, because those folks that we see there, Jack, usually what happens is they're very smart, good people. And what happened was they just got sick of having to be told what to learn in school. And they're like, yeah, I'm done with this, right? So whether it be dropping out of high school or not, you know, or not going to school, beyond, say, hey, I want to learn about stuff that I want to learn about that interests me, not what you say I need to learn about, right? And so the folks we find that are successful are very curious and very, you know, very knowledgeable, very smart, and are constantly learning and getting better. And so be sure to be able to kind of share your story a little bit in terms of your history. You know, where did you work? How did you get to where you are today? You know, and as you sort of look at stuff, if you haven't thought about it, Jack, it's just to sort of kind of lay it down in terms of, hey, you connect some dots where you didn't connect dots if you haven't thought about it, right? And in terms of, so it's a really key thing for how you tell your story. And so if you aren't telling your story well when you're first meeting somebody, that might be the death knell for you. If all of a sudden a big part of your job is maybe go out and form relationships, and maybe part of what it is you're, if you're the owner, chances are you might be the top salesperson in the company too. But if you aren't good at telling your story, well, it's hard to draw people in, right? Because that's you know, kind of boring, or they can't wait to get done with this discussion, right? So it's incumbent upon you to present something that's exciting. So, okay, so that's just from telling like your own personal story, Jack. That's the same thing you should be doing though for your company, right? Same thing.
Sure,
like,
it's a very doable challenge, very doable, because it's all personal stuff. It's all stuff that you've experienced. And when you start to think about it, you know, it flows nicely when you think about it.
Right.
But if you're never really called to explain yourself or present your story, either personal or company-wise, you don't have experience. Like many things where you don't have experience, you're going to fumble it. You're not going to have your best foot forward. You're not going to be convincing because you're thinking about things that are unnecessary if you just let it flow. So presenting yourself in your company is huge to the point of success. So huge that our seven keys, we basically put that last because that culminates. Yeah, the seven keys, learning those, you know, the six of them before the presenting, it culminates into a story that basically is a lot of fun. Where I've been, where I'm going, where I'm at right now, both myself and my company. Wouldn't it be nice to talk with confidence and have that story with a few twists and bends, especially if you're a sales guy and owners of small businesses are sales guys all the time. So yes, very important, Adam.
So yeah, as you're talking about that, I'm almost the visual coming to my mind, Jack. We talk about the presenting that seventh key. It's often not thought about. It's really the Trojan horse, though, isn't it? And
yes.
I say that from the standpoint because with our clients, we have them presenting from day one. Our first meeting with all of our clients, we have them bring their current, you know, their latest balance sheet and their latest profit and loss statement, and we have them present it. We have them fill out a questionnaire. We have them present again. We have them constantly presenting. They don't know it, right? They don't know it. It doesn't resonate for them, you know, day one. They, you know, they don't know what's kind of going on. But as we go every meeting that we have with our clients, they're constantly presenting to us. And so we're teaching them that. When I say it's a Trojan horse, it's like as we're getting them through those other six keys, we're constantly revising their seventh key in terms of how they present stuff, right? And so once they get the other six keys down, it's amazing. It's like, well, the presenting part's the easy part. Because they've gone through everything else, that they've gone through the hard work of doing it. Where it's again, I use it to the term Trojan horse because it's like Mr. Miyagi, right?
That's right.
You know, making them do all this stuff and sand the floor and paint the fence and it's, you know, all of a sudden they can now, you know, defend themselves. Okay, so they're doing all the things. They got the profit plan pulled together. They got their vision down. They got the marketing plan down. Talk about who their good customers are. They have the org plan down in terms of, hey, here's my holes in the organization. Here's my leadership team, right? Here's my cash forecast. Here's what I'm doing to be able to develop my leadership team. And so magically, they're able to present and talk about their company because when it comes to presenting the company, you mentioned before, Jack, the seven keys, that's the outline. That's the things you want to touch on and talk about in terms of your company. You mentioned the vision. Here's where we are. And here's where we're going, you know, 5, 10 years from now. Here's what I see. Here's what we're trying to build. Here's what we're going to do this year in terms of our profits and everything else. And it's amazing, as you talk about the stories, Jack, what's the story of 2020 going to be for you and for your company? What's the pandemic mean for you? It's going to be part of everybody's story. How's your story sound? Is your story a knuckle dragging on the ground? It's been awful, terrible, waiting for things to change, or?
Or reinvention and fun and bringing people in, your key employees especially, and regrouping, reinventing. I love that term. Because it is, you got to reinvent. If, you know, millions of people are not going to be able to assume their jobs, what are they going to be able to do? And how and where are they going to find ways to support themselves and entertain themselves? Where are they going to find it? Who knows? It's the reinvention going on. It's not going to, there'll be some old stuff, good percentage of it. There's more opportunities today because of this huge disruption than ever. So it can be either scary or challenging. You can walk around, like you say, dragging your knuckles or having a big smile on your face that makes you look a little out of sorts here to most people. Like, man, Ed Adams kind of crazy. He's walking around smiling all the time.
That's it.
What's he smiling about?
Well, that's
his
good.
Maybe he's wiped out.
That's it. Hopefully they'll come and ask me then, right? The idea is to try to engage him that way. But to your point, Jack, in terms of how you present yourself right now, there are opportunities that are out there all over the place, right? And so if you're presenting yourself in a very positive, forward-looking way in terms of you're going to make things happen and be very successful, you're going to attract some people. People will be attracted to that. If you're the opposite, where you're dragging your knuckles on the ground and complaining about how bad things are and, boy, I'm afraid to go outside and all, okay, well, hey, you know, chances are you're going to attract a lot of negative stuff, right? I mean, that's how these things tend to work. And so, you know, how are you presenting yourself? And if you're presenting a positive, attractive things, people want to be part of that.
That's right.
And if you aren't,
that's right.
Or if you aren't aware, if you look around and you don't see anybody around, okay, guess what? Chances are you're probably not presenting a very positive image. That's a good sign. Versus, hey, if you got some good people around you, chances are they want to be part of that winning team. And they see there's, maybe you don't have all the answers, but hey, you have an idea of where we're trying to go. Here's what we're trying to do. And here's where I see the future for us. And so the presenting part, again, is a big part of attracting and retaining those good people, whether it be the people who are part of your team directly, that, you know, who are your employees, whether it be your vendors, your customers. But the way you present stuff is a big, big deal. And again, it's that first impression, Jack, people talk about. And so, you know, these days, depending on what your online presence looks like, you may not even get that chance to introduce yourself to somebody in person, you know, or one-to-one. But if you do, you should never take it lightly. You should never, to your point, Jack, you shouldn't just wing it. You know,
look at it as an opportunity, because it is, and it can be fun. You should be able to exude fun. Yeah, I'd like to do more with this guy. He's smart and he's fun. Okay, what more do you want to present? And he's successful too, which is not wacky. So that's good.
One of the things that we get a lot of pushback from our clients on, Jack, and I think it's true, I think across the way, is doing some role playing or practicing, mm-hmm. right? Oh, I got it. Yeah, I got to figure it out. Okay. Oh, well, then put some notes. Okay, that's great. Well, let's try it once. No, I'll be okay, right? And how often is it when they come back and like, oh, yeah, that didn't go real well, right? Well, why would it happen? Well, they said this and then this happened. It's like, well, what happened to the notes you took? Well, you know, I don't know. Also, I froze or I panicked. Okay, well, hey, part of the idea
Pick it up again. It's all right.
Well, part of the idea of role-playing or practicing, again, we aren't naturals at many things, right? Most of us are not naturals at most things. We've learned stuff over the years. And I think one of the things that people will agree upon is that one of the biggest fears, Jack, is presenting, right? The whole idea of public speaking and that. And so that's one of the things I think people know that we are not naturally good at having that spotlight be on us and be able to present and be able to do that well. And so if we aren't practicing, if we aren't role-playing, if we aren't trying things out to see what it sounds like, as I have some ideas up my noggin up here, as they flow down to my mouth, things get mixed up along the way, right? Or as I'm presenting, somebody asks me a question that I didn't expect. How do I respond to that, right? So it's the more practice we get. Like I said, I was feeling rusty, you know, about a month or two ago. Now I'm feeling more into my
After you get
rhythm.
Into it, sure.
Yeah, because I've done it a few times. It's like any other muscle, right? Takes time to build it up. But boy, if you stop doing it, it atrophies like that, right? It just starts to be able to disappear. And so it's something that we focus a lot on. I think it's something that many companies don't focus on. And we talk about this a lot, Jack, when it comes to developing people too, in terms of, and people ask all the time, how do I get people to buy in? How do I get the ownership of stuff, right? And so we often talk about, here's ways you start to engage your people in terms of getting them to present, to present their plans on stuff, right? So it could be something as simple as, hey, if they're running a crew, okay, what's the plan for the crew, right? Okay, how's that look? Okay, to make that thing happen, right? If they're doing some marketing stuff, if they're doing some sales stuff, okay, what's that going to look like? You know, if they're going on a sales call, let's kind of go through it. How are you presenting the company? How are you presenting the bid? You know, so to kind of go through those kind of things. And so from our standpoint, Jack, there's no better way to get inside somebody's head than to have them present a little bit.
True. Very true. I've seen it time and time again. That's right.
And ask them a few questions or give them a little pushback here and there and see how they respond to stuff. Right. And, mm-hmm. and when you do that, and if you think about it, right, if you think about people who you just clicked with, it just seemed to work really well, or you felt really good about, look back and think about it in terms of, hey, this person really presented themselves pretty well. They, and the story that they told resonated to me. Again, as they're telling their story, as they're sharing stories, they're starting to pull out stories that relate, right? So if I start sharing a story about caddying and somebody else was a caddy, okay, also they'll bring that up now because they know it's a good time to, and we have a connection there, right? Even though they may never have told anybody else about it, they're telling me because also there's that commonality there, right? So it's being able to kind of do that and knowing, okay, what things do I talk about with who, right? Going back to your point, the opening salvo, Jack, of talking to a banker, right? Well, there's certain things you want to say to a banker and certain things you don't want to say to a banker, right? So versus talking to your partner, versus talking to your employees, versus talking to your vendors. There's different things that you say to those folks that, you know, again, so you'll probably be a little more open and honest with your banker than you will be with the vendor perhaps, right? Because your banker's more of a partner for you when it comes to, you know, taking care of your money versus a vendor.
He's going to check you out more thoroughly too, probably.
Yes, they will, Jack. But yeah, the presenting thing. So if you start with simply being able to tell your story first, start there. That's one that I think we should all be very good at, Jack, being able to tell our own story. And our story should evolve and change over time because our experience changes over time. And the things we get into change over time. So as you start to look back and reflect upon things, hey, we often don't recognize what's a big moment in life until you've had a few months or years or decades to reflect upon it, right? It's not always as obvious as a pandemic, right? So if you could start with your personal story first and then work into this in terms of your company's story. Because your company story is an important story to be able to tell too. So whether you're the one that started it or if you inherited it or you bought it, again, there's great stories. Jack, you know, people love hearing your stories about buying your companies. Why? Because they're fantastic stories to tell because you tell them well. You bring up good points. Again, each of those stories involves several years, right? But you're telling them in 10 minutes, you're given, here's some key highlights, right? In terms of what's kind of going on. So being able to tell those stories are very important to be able to kind of do, but you got to practice it. You got to practice it a little bit. And it's been hard to practice lately, but if we can encourage folks, we're getting back out to people, start with your personal story first. Get that one down and see how it kind of sounds and do some practicing. Maybe pick a friend or a spouse or somebody who knows you a little bit, say, hey, why are you talking about that? Why don't you bring up this? Again, they may give you some suggestions about things you should talk about and cover that are going to be interesting, that they find to be interesting, you know, because often we aren't a good judge of what's interesting, right?
Maybe. Well, in our 18 years of coaching, we've dealt with hundreds of clients, and probably 20% maybe, and I might be kind, can present themselves and their company well. They don't practice it. They aren't aware of it yet. It's huge from a strategic success standpoint. It's huge to be able to present yourself well. And you're absolutely right, Adam. With a little bit of practice, a little bit of critiquing helps a lot. You can also be a good presenter of yourself and your company, making people excited to do business with you and you know, to be part of their network because you're an interesting, accomplished person.
That's how people will form relationships, but it's that feeling. People will remember that they felt good about you, right? In terms of, you know, and when you tell it, you tell it well, you tell it with passion, you're excited about it, you're a fun person to be around. And so it's a good thing. What we'll do is we'll include as part of the notes here for today's show, Jack, we'll include some of these bullet points we talked about in terms of some things to include, especially for your personal story. To kind of, again, give you a little outline. Obviously, the seven keys we talked about, Jack, are the outline for your business. So you have that outline ready for the seven keys. We'll include a link in our, you know, for the seven keys as well. But we'll also put some a couple bullet points about what things you want to cover with your personal story too. Make sure you get that part down. That one should be the easier one, right? It should be. Because you know it as well as anybody. It's your story, at least as far as what you remember, right?
that's right.
So that could be a good thing.
That's a good point.
But, you know, yes. have some fun with it. And again, it should be a very positive and very good story. But just often it's just getting it written down somewhere, having these things down and kind of practicing a little bit and sort of tell your story. But have fun with it. It should be a fun story. It's an evolving story. And if you get good at it and you're conscious of it, I guarantee your story today is be different than it is next year and next, you know, 10 years from now, but it should still be fun being able to kind of tell it. And it's fun to kind of see what holds during that time too, right? What's been a constant as part of your story versus what things kind of dropped off that weren't as important anymore, you know? So it's a lot of fun though. If you do it and you do it well, from our standpoint, Jack, if you present well, the sky's going to be the limit for you. I don't care what business you're in or what you're doing.
I agree with you. This is good. Good.
That's how to tell your story. It's a way to kind of tell your story, folks. Again, whether it be your personal story, your company story. So that's our show for today for Dirty Secrets of Small Business. We appreciate you joining us today. If you missed any of our prior shows, you can get them all at our website, dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com, or you can get them at our Facebook page by the same name as well. Or better yet, use your smart device. Head over to whatever you get your podcast from, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and subscribe to the show. It'll be delivered to your smart device every week when we drop our new show. If you want to be a part of it, have questions for us, you can email us at radio@maximumvp.com, or you can give us a call, 877-849-0670. All right, Jack, that's the show for this week. Good stuff.
Okay, Adam. Good stuff.
Everybody have a great week, and we'll see you all next week.